This morning we're going to be looking at Psalm 90, verses 6 through 12. Psalm 90, verses 6 through 12. If you found your way there, follow along as I read. In the morning it flourishes and sprouts anew. Toward evening it fades and withers away. I guess I should have started in the fifth verse so we understand what it is. And it is the life of man. It is man. Verse 7, for we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we have been dismayed. You have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all your days have declined, and for all our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone, and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due to you, that is due you? So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. May he be glorified. So just after Moses, the man of God, reminds us of our frailty and of God's eternality, we're also reminded that mortality is not accidental. And men are prone to think of death as no more than a debt owed to nature. Death is a debt to the justice of God. Death is a result of the curse of the fall. Romans 5:12 tells us, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. So our mortality is not accidental, but sin has provoked the Lord God to anger, and therefore we die. All of creation is subjected to death and corruption. Romans 8:20, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope. And so I dare not leave us here with these things, but I want us to see the hope. But I want to state this truth as the scriptures teach us to look to him in hope. And so particularly as we read this portion, let us be cautioned that this psalm has special application to Israel in the wilderness. And we must not fail to see it in that light, as well as remember the higher ground upon which believers now stand. Their lives, and this is Israel in the wilderness, were cut short by justice for their rebellion. So let's read of that account from Numbers 14, verses 27 through 33. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who are grumbling against me? I have heard the complaints of the sons of Israel, which they are making against me. So he says to Moses, say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will surely do to you. So what was the murmuring? What was the complaint of the Israelites? Did Moses bring us out here to die? And so what did the Lord tell them? Just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will surely do to you. Your corpses will fall in this wilderness, even all your numbered men, according to your complete number from 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me. Surely you shall not come into the land in which I swore to settle you, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. Your children, however, whom you said would become a prey, I will bring them in, and they will know the land which you have rejected. But as for you, your corpses will fall in this wilderness. Your sons shall be shepherds for 40 years in the wilderness, and they will suffer for your unfaithfulness, until your corpses lie in the wilderness. So these people lived knowing they were doomed by their murmuring and their rebellion against God. And we can see the full meaning of this psalm as applied to Israel in the wilderness, that their days have declined in his fury. The Lord gave them to know his judgment by the acknowledgement of this people having been consumed by his anger and being dismayed by his wrath. And these are not casual statements, but show the seriousness of offending God. and we're not to regard them casually as they serve to warn us. So it is just here, this is where we need to remember the higher ground in which we as believers now stand in Christ. We can see that this is true of us in measure, but not altogether. We share with the Israelites in the wilderness the truth that we too are passing as a result of, just as we read in Romans 5 a moment ago, because all sinned. So man apart from Christ, or those not in Christ, share the same malady. It is here we may aptly compare Israel in the wilderness to those who are not in Christ. Romans 3. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There's not even one. For those in Christ, eternity and life are seen with eyes given to see in light of the gospel. And by the way, that's how we should see all aspects of life, everything, in light of the gospel. In light of the person and work of Jesus Christ, that death is no more a judicial execution. This is the higher ground spoken of for the follower of Christ. Those in Christ no longer share in the anger and wrath of death. It is by His love and mercy that attends the believer's way to glory by the way of the tomb, not just our death, but by His. He has conquered death and the grave. He's conquered sin. And this is a wonderful aspect of His glorious grace. We as believers are privileged far beyond those of whom it was written, "Your corpses will fall in the wilderness." Believers may certainly learn and draw much from this psalm. However, as believers, we are not a people that has been condemned under this judicial sentence of condemnation. We are a people in Christ. And in the epistle of 1 Peter, it's put this way, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession." Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
And there's a purpose in that. What is it? "So that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." So although we may learn much from this part of the psalm, we ought not to misapply it to those in Christ as those beloved of the Lord. God had sworn that this people, that Israel in the wilderness, would never enter His rest. By His grace and making us to be in Him, He has declared in the Gospel of Matthew, "Come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." But when the soul of a believer is under the Holy Spirit wrought conviction of sin, the words of this psalm is most suitable to that case. The psalm will then serve to warn us that truly no fire consumes like God's righteous anger, and no anguish troubles the heart like His wrath. Amen. It is a great mercy of God to be troubled when we sin. Amen?
Amen.
With sin comes guilt, in which Jesus delivers His people from both. 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And this magnifies and shows the glory of Christ being our substitute and bearing the wrath that we so rightly deserve. This magnifies His glorious grace. And because all that is true in verses 1 through 11, we are presented with a "so" in verse 12. And there is where we may draw a marvelous application from this psalm. Here we have a plea for the Lord to teach us to number our days. And why? So that we may present to Him a heart of wisdom. And the only way a man may present this heart of wisdom is by the Lord's teaching. Amen. As we've seen in this psalm, our time is short, and that soon it is gone and we fly away. We have but a short time allotted to us that will either manifest that we are of Him or of the world. The thoughts we think and the way we spend our time will prove one or the other. Only a heart that understands by His mercy and grace the fear that is due him, will consider these things, will consider such. We're not to count our days as if we know how many we will have, but to know that they are but few. Amen. We should consider often how short our time is, that we not spend it on things that are passing, but on things eternal. Lord, teach us to number our days, that we're not slack in seeking Christ, the wisdom of God, fear of the Lord, and that we walk by faith and not by sight. As the Word proclaims, that which we just read in Matthew 11, verse 29, the only way man may find rest for his soul is to learn from Him. Help us, Lord, that our time is spent wisely and that we learn from You. Amen.